Good morning and welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. I'm C.A. Brooks, and you are listening to the Friday Morning Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you experience life and spirituality. And if you're listening live, today is October 5th, 2018, but I always like to say I don't think it matters what the date is because, you know, time is such an illusion, and if you're anything like me, what I find is whatever is going on in my life is exactly what I need to hear or think about or do on that particular day. You know, that curriculum, I mean, that's one thing I think I'm just not nearly as uptight as I used to be about things having to be very, very linear, you know, because things are going to come back. If they're important, they're going to pop up. They're going to be there for me. But it is October 5th. If you're wondering if this is a new show or you're just trying to get kind of get your feet on the ground and grounded in whatever, you know, reality you're in. So thank you so much for coming and for joining me today. And on today's show, we always talk about A Course in Miracles, which is, somebody asked me just recently, well, what is that? And I said, well, I would consider it a spiritual discipline. Now, I'm not sure that's the best way to describe it, but it's certainly not a religion. I think it's so much more than a philosophy. And for me, it really is a discipline. I mean, it really is. You know, it's a discipline. I don't know. I'll ask Susan Dugan. She is my guest today. And we'll see what Susan says about what do you tell people when they say, what is A Course in Miracles? So Susan is with me today, and we are going to talk about an idea that's close to all of our hearts, which is the idea of specialness, which many of you know as you read A Course in Miracles. Some of the words are redefined, or we are provoked into thinking about certain concepts or words in different ways than we thought about them before. And I'll tell you, this is one that does really resonate with me for a couple of reasons. One, because I'm an astrologer. And as I read a chart and I look at the ego represented by the sun, or if I'm specifically looking at Leo energy, then it's like, we are special. We all want to be individuals. But you know, that's really on a personality level. When we talk about A Course in Miracles, we're talking about how that same sense of being an individual, being special, starts interfering with our ability to really relate to other people and to resonate with, you know, kind of what I'm going to call the, you know, the grand story or the story of how we're all connected. So we're going to go to A Course in Miracles, the text, chapter 24, section 3, which is talking about forgiveness of specialness. So if you have A Course in Miracles and you want to pull that out, you might want to do that. You don't need to. You can just listen along. The other thing that you can do is you can actually join us over in our private group on Facebook, and you can join the people that are already there. Hi, Terry and Quelly. Thank you for coming today. And Greg, it's always good to see you guys in the room. So thanks for being early birds and for coming in. But if you'd like to join us over there, you go to 12radio.com. That's our website. You can find a number of things over there, including a lot of the archived shows. You'll find those in the on-demand section. But for now, if you hit the chat button, it will redirect you over to Facebook, where you can then come into the group. And our producer today is Scott Weaver. And if he sees you knocking at the door, he'll certainly let you in. So if you'd like to come over and join us in that private group, you can do that. So meanwhile, let's get this discussion going. And as I said, my guest today is Susan Dugan, who is a friend and a local teacher and writer and all kinds of things. She's written several books on forgiveness in particular, which I am always touting on this show because I think they're so good. They're funny. And I'll tell you what, sometimes this illusion, sometimes this dream is not very funny. And I need that kind of humor. I need that, you know, application of these spiritual principles to real life, and so that we can just kind of take a look at this and just laugh at how serious we take everything. She is also the co-founder of the School for Course in Miracles, and she facilitates ACIM study groups here in Denver, Colorado, as well as actually talking in various places in the United States. So welcome, Susan. Thank you for being here this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, thank you very much. And it certainly keeps me on track. And thank you. Thank you for the suggestion of this topic. Now, I know that in your study group, is this the chapter that you have been talking about?
Yeah, this is kind of currently where we are in the, I teach a Tuesday night class here in Denver, and we've been going through the text for several years now. And yes, this is currently where we are. So chapter 24 is about the topic of specialness, and it's called The Goal of Specialness, the chapter heading. Uh-huh. And we just finished, the previous chapter was called The Treachery of Specialness. And so this is The Forgiveness of Specialness. And it's funny because when we had gotten to this chapter, we were about to start it the following week, there was a woman that is a regular in my class, who's really a dedicated course student. And she said, "Is it okay if we skip this chapter?"
Was she serious?
Yes, she was joking, but she was joking because nobody really wants to look at this, you know.
No.
This is really the core of the ego thought system, is the belief that we created the treacherous, in quote unquote, belief that we created a different reality from God. You know, it's the tiny mat idea of separation taken seriously and then projected outward as a need to flee from a God that actually recognized that the separation was real, which it isn't. And then, you know, the whole part of the whole plan to make it real was really to make up a whole project the guilt we feel over that idea out into this whole universe of forms, and then to assume a separate identity, a body, with as you were saying, a unique personality and unique characteristics of all kinds, so that we could sort of hide out and then forget we made all of this up, you know, so flee the mind into this dream world of form, and then forget we made up the whole thing and find ourselves, you know, sort of cast through birth into this world at not against our, you know, without having taking any responsibility for it. We didn't choose to be here. And then the fun begins, you know. Then we begin, we find ourselves here with constant needs, physical, emotional needs that can never be truly met from external sources. And we begin trying to portray ourselves as the face of innocence, as the special face of innocence, relatively less guilty than the others around us. So we're always perceiving ourselves as victims, and everyone else in some way or another as victimizers, and we identify, you know, depending on whatever, you know, particular characteristics we've made up for our personal self, with in camps of victims or victimizers. And whatever camp you're in, you see yourself as the victim. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, the previous chapter, The Treachery of Specialness, is really all about how that happens, the ego dynamics of how that happens, because we made up this separate reality, and it was based on the treacherous belief that we were treacherous toward God. And now, you know, this, we, because we have the, you know, the audacity to want to run away from home and you know, live independently, God is out to get us as a result. And so we have to kind of flee heaven and cast ourselves into exile from God in this world of one or the other, which is at the heart of the ego thought system. So the forgiveness of specialness, the chapter that we're looking at today, is really meant to be a correction for the idea of the treachery of specialness. And forgiveness in the Course, just like the word specialness, means something different than what we think of in the world. It isn't, it's the forgiveness of my belief in that you are the problem. that it has anything to do with what's going on out there, quote unquote, in my dream. It's the denial of taking responsibility for that thought of separation in the mind, which is what we're always reinforcing whenever we're upset and pointing a finger at a reason in the dream for being upset, which often has a face attached to it, you know?
Yes.
and so, and that we're many faces. And so, you know, I love how the course is so consistent and so reliable in its metaphysics. It never deviates from what it's saying about the world is not what you think it is. It is not real. It's a projection of this thought of guilt in the mind, that our true reality is an undifferentiated loving union with God that has never changed. A God that doesn't know about this alternate reality that we seem to be living and, you know, we seem to find ourselves in. And that the way back to awakening to that awareness of what we really are, which will bring us peace and happiness, where the world will never bring us peace and happiness, is through a new kind of forgiveness, is through, as you were saying, the discipline of paying attention to where I'm projecting my guilt, my addiction to seeing the problem out there, and the rage that I feel often over feeling unfairly treated or identifying with someone that I see as unfairly treated, because, you know, we love to be victims. And we see victims and victimizers, whoever, from whatever side of the fence we are, our country is a perfect example right now, as deeply divided as it seems, of people on both sides who see themselves as terribly victimized and are dug in to that idea without ever wanting to question it. And, myself included, we're very, very, we've programmed ourselves to react like this and to keep telling these stories and never question the real cause. And so it's not about beating ourselves up for when we find ourselves doing that, but it is what brings us to this course or a true spiritual path in the first place, is some awareness that this, what I'm doing, that there's something wrong with what I'm doing, that it isn't making me happy. And, you know, there has to be a better way. There has to be another way. And the other way that the Course presents, and it doesn't claim to be the only way, but the Course's way is through recognizing our need to blame each other and taking that blame back to the mind and seeing that it's really my decision for the belief in separation that is the cause of the problem. It has nothing to do with the target of the problem that I've made up out there. And, you know, that my effort to see it out there and to blame someone else is always a symptom of my belief that I first, you know, my first having accused myself of the crime of the offense against God of wanting to be special, of wanting to be separate. And, you know, that way lies madness. That way will never bring me peace. As long as I'm identified with the part of my mind, with the ego, which sees specialness as my salvation, which the ego does, which, you know, is part of the plan of separation is real and we have to run away from God, punishing God. As long as I'm identified with that part of my mind, I will always see victims and victimizers as different, and I will never be happy. I will always be in conflict and on one side of the fence, you know. And so it's not bringing me peace. It will never bring me peace. And the truth is that nothing outside my mind has the power that I'm giving it to take peace away, because peace is what I am, you know. So this is a pretty uncompromising course from that perspective. We're asked in every moment, as we catch ourselves being reactive and triggered by what's going on and identified with ourselves as being victims or someone else as being a victim, and not wanting to, you know, disidentifying ourselves with who we perceive the victimizer to be as different and worse than we are, then we know we've chosen the ego as our teacher. And, you know, we can dig in our heels and we can keep, you know, tuned into hurling our our accusations at each other, but it's never going to bring us peace. The guilt is not where we think it is. And it can be undone if we're willing to bring it back to a part of our mind that knows the guilt is not where we think it is and knows that the guilt really isn't real or deserved in anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what I was thinking as you were talking? Something occurred to me that, like, as you alluded to some of the things that are going on politically in the United States right now and the divisiveness, the thing that does amaze me is how complicated it's gotten. Like, there's all these threads and all these stories. And if you ask people whether, you know, they're on one side of the situation or the other, they're not going to give you the same reason for being on that side. You know, and it's like there's layer upon layer upon layer of complexity. And what occurred to me, you know, as you're talking is, you know, it goes right back to lesson number 5, which is I'm never upset for the reason I think. And we love to make these layers of complexity. But here's what I remembered is that, because I think this applies in this situation. Years ago, I was studying feng shui and a number of other things, and I was thinking about some career choices, and I thought, I'm going to go get my real estate license. Because if I do that, then I would have some more opportunities, and maybe I could do feng shui and real estate at the same time. These two will go together. So I launched into what it turns out to be a pretty difficult study. I mean, you know, I have such respect for realtors now because I had already gotten a master's degree in business. And I thought, how difficult could this be? But it was actually quite difficult. I mean, what you had to learn, all the legalities and all of the stuff that you had to learn in order to pass the state exam, which at the time I was in California, I mean, it was considerable. Right. And, but one thing I'll never forget, because once again, these are the life lessons you learn. Like, for instance, I always say you don't go to college for the content, you go to college for the lessons you learn in life. One of the things that was amazing, and this is absolutely true, when you take those exams, there will be a question that maybe is a half a page or three quarters of a page long. And it has to do with, you know, they tell you this whole story of so-and-so and so-and-so bought a house. And then so-and-so got sick and did blah, 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 and this blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so in the end, one of the people die. But they give you all these things. The house is, you know, it has this much square footage. It has this, that, and the other thing. And like I said, the question will literally be paragraphs long. And then they will say, so is this property, can this person will this to their ancestors, or is it divided equally, or what happens? Well, you go through all these little complexities, and of course, the real information was pretty much in the first or second sentence, which was the legal way they bought the property. That's the answer to the question right there. None of the rest of it matters at all. Because legally, the way you will a piece of property has to do with the way you bought it. But my point is, they do that on purpose because they know that when you get out there in real life, you're going through all these complexities. But the truth is, the answer is it goes right back to a simple principle. And I'm thinking with this, you know, I can get all upset about, well, this happened, and what about this and that and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Every single time, you know, the course will bring us back to, you're upset because you believed you could run away from home. You believed you could separate from God. And now you've created this elaborate story with all the details and all the characters. But no matter how many layers of complexity you add, you're never changing the basic idea of what's really going on here.
Right, absolutely. And complexity is of the ego. I mean, the whole covert cover up, you know, is to root us more deeply in the dream. So the world is a complexity generator, you know.
Each yes.
generates more threads and more, you know, I know that. I'm a fiction writer too, you know.
Yeah.
So we're all fiction writers. So yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, the whole point of this, you know, we've repressed that we made the whole thing up, but the whole point of making the whole thing up was to keep us mindless, was to keep us from never going back to the mind, was to keep us riveted on the stories and trying to fight the battle where it is not, so we would never approach where the cause is. And
yes.
Again, right?
So yes.
And I'll tell you what, you know, it's very, very helpful to notice the way you dig in, you know, to notice how it within yourself as a course student, that's what we're asked to do, is to see how much I want the problem to be here. How much I want, you know, the people that I think are the victims to be acknowledged as so. how much I want the people who I see as the victimizers to be acknowledged as so, and how upset I get when I'm disagreed with, you know, on that. And yes. So, you know, Ken Wapnick, I remember him probably when, you know, he had many things that he said, phrases that he repeated a lot. And one of them was, victims and victimizers are the same, you know?
Yes.
They're not different. And if we are seeing them as different, we're wrong.
Yeah.
Simple. You know, and Jesus is saying the same thing. I mean, we're wrong. You're not bad. You're not sinful, but you're wrong. And, you know, I'll wait until you're ready to join with the right answer, but I'm not going to agree with you because you're wrong. Everybody here is fighting the same hard battle. They have different stories with lots of complexity to defend why they believe they are the victims and the other side is the, you know, victimizer. But the reason that everybody wants to be a victim and ends up victimizing is the same. And that is that we first accused ourselves of the crime of separating from God. And the guilt over that is so devastating that we constantly project it on each other just to feel okay enough to get up in the morning.
Right.
And so can I read the first paragraph of this?
Of course you can.
It's an illusion. And he tells us right there, you know. And so it says, forgiveness is the end of specialness. Only illusions can be forgiven, and then they disappear. And not literally they disappear, but then our defensiveness, our anger disappears. It, you know, we return to seeing victims and victimizers as the same. You know, you have an ego too. I don't agree with you, but I understand why you're upset, because I'm upset too. You know, we're identified with the ego, and we need to do that. We all feel guilty. So, but in truth, it's only illusions that can be forgiven, and then they disappear. Then we're not, as you know, we're not so upset about them. Forgiveness is release from all illusions. It eventually will lead us. We can't exclude anything from this. And that is why it is impossible, but partly to forgive. We can't make exceptions to this. You know, I can't say, well, I forgive what happened to me when I was a kid, or my, you know, this teacher or my parent or whatever, but I can't, you know, this is just too much for me, what I'm seeing on the news or what's happening right now with my kid or, you know, whatever. We always have those exceptions. Well, you know, what we're learning is that we're going to have to generalize this to everything, because that's how we return to love. That's how we return to peace. That's how we return to a sense of being truly loved and loving that none of us actually feel here in the dream, when we're constantly accusing each other and defending ourselves from each other and trying to prove we exist at God's expense, but it's not our fault, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and I'd like to interject here that at least, and here again, please correct me if you do not agree with us, but when it says only illusions can be forgiven, it's based on the idea that reality doesn't need to be forgiven. Right. Because, you know, reality doesn't include separation. Reality, I mean, the true reality of we are, to be use a trite phrase, we are children of God, and we don't need to be forgiven. We've never done anything that needs to be forgiven. So it's all this other stuff we made up. That's that we need to address. We don't need to address what's real.
That's right. Yeah. And that's, again, that's the level that we're out of touch with of our true nature, which is our, you know, it's a oneness joined as one. There's no bodies. There's no me in that. That's terrifying to us. You know, most of us are not ready to just jump right to that. If you are, you don't need, you shouldn't be listening to this. You don't, you know, I don't know why it's here. We're not listening to anything out there, you know. We're confident in what we are, and we're all loving to everyone. But that's not where most of us are, you know. That's why we need a teaching. And, you know, Ken used to say that this is a course for spiritual infants. Because if we're getting upset all the time, you know, and constantly riveted on our dream, and it's making us very unhappy, we're spiritual infants. We're not identified with spirit. We're identified with bodies. You know, and we're fighting to defend our projections. But it's, you know, it's the recognition that it's not making us happy that is going to lead us eventually back up that ladder that we allowed, that we made up, that separation seemed to lead us down, you know, that we believed we had to, guilt was real and we really did, you know, topple heaven and push God's love away, and now we don't deserve it anymore. And so we have to make up this other world in which we fight over scraps, you know.
Mm-hmm. And just like you said, that's such a great barometer, really. The bottom line is, because sometimes I get so lost in the maze of the complexity, I don't even know how to find my way out. But the bottom line is it making me happy? Do I feel peaceful?
Right. Yes. And if you can't say unequivocally yes, you've got work to do. That's all.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it just means, this is a discipline and a practice. I think of it as a practice, but it's the same thing as discipline, just semantics on that. It's the framework for how I approach my day. And that doesn't mean that I'm not having ego attacks all day. I am. Unfortunately, I am. But I've learned that it's not really unfortunately, because the ego, you know, survives in concealment. It's another thing that Ken said all the time. And so we don't know that we've chosen the ego until we find ourselves reacting. And so in that sense, it's a gift to find myself triggered, because then I know what my choice is. And then I can do something about it. Then I can choose again. And that doesn't mean that I immediately return to peace. But it does mean that I've taken a step back and said, no, I must be wrong about this. And I see what Jesus is saying throughout this course, that I've got it all turned around. You know, I think my salvation lies in being right. I think my salvation, I'm terrified of the free fall it feels like to say we're the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's terrifying. No, because it has to be one or the other, because if you're not guilty, then I must be. In the ego's, you know, system of justice, those are the only two choices, right?
Right, either or, you or me.
Right, and there's going to be hell to pay. There is a cost. That is the price of being an individual. And so, you know, someone must pay. And we're all hell-bent, motivated, without knowing it, to proving that we are relatively more or less guilty than blank. And we do it all day long. And so, you know, this is a practice of beginning to take responsibility for that as a choice that I'm making in the mind that I wasn't aware of. And that is, you know, and to do that, to learn to do that without judgment is a practice. And as a discipline, because it's horrifying when we first start doing this for a long time, because, you know, again, it's we're our default position is, well, if you're not guilty, I must be. And so,
yeah.
we feel guilty. We would blame ourselves. But the truth is, no one's guilty. You know, we're making this all up. And so forgiveness, the forgiveness of specialness is learning that, you know, the defense that I think I've needed all this time, and who knows how many lifetimes we've been spinning it and how many fragments of the one mind, you know, from the Course's perspective, this is all one dream. It seems to be individual, but we're all living out all the, you know, one little fragment of the possible scenarios of what separation might have looked like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm tired of doing this, and so it's, I'm learning through reviewing it again and saying I can make a different decision in this moment, you know, to identify with a part of my mind that doesn't judge and does see that we're the same in this and does see that there's a huge reward to aligning, accepting, you know, joining with that awareness of our joint innocence and our joint need to find our way home and let go of this guilt that's literally, you know, keeping us in hell. You know, so it becomes that is being undone for us through our willingness to quote unquote forgive. That's what the Course's idea of forgiveness is. It's that recognition that I'm not lesson five. I'm not upset for the reason I think. And then, you know, lesson 34, I could see peace instead of this. Right. And
yeah,
because peace is my birthright. Peace is your birthright. Peace is the ones I love to hate's birthright. You know, it is. I mean,
that's, I know. Are you sure? Are you sure, Susan?
Well, it depends. You know, when I've chosen the ego, no, I'm dug in. But the pain of that eventually becomes enough to say, no, I want to see this differently. You know, I want peace more than I want to be right. I want peace more than I want to, because the truth is the guilt never goes away. It doesn't feel good to be angry all the time. It doesn't feel good. It may for a period of time, depending on, you know, how willing you are to look at this. But in my experience, what brought me to the Course was the awareness that it wasn't working. And what keeps me coming back and practicing more and more is the shift that I have when I'm finally ready to let go of it, to join with Jesus's Holy Spirit's viewpoint, our right mind's viewpoint, that symbol of the peace and love that's there for all of us, our innocence, which is universal. When I'm willing to say I'm wrong and that I would at least like to see peace instead of this, eventually I do see peace instead of this. And I know that's what I want. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about that a lot before. Yeah. About many of us have come to this discipline. And by the way, what do you say to people when they say, what is A Course in Miracles? What do you say?
You know, what Ken used to say, that it's a spiritual psychology that emphasizes forgiveness, I think, is what, you know.
That's good. I like that.
But what he would say, you know, I just heard him, and I'm paraphrasing, but I know that he talked about that in a couple of questions and workshops that I've listened to. And I remember him saying something like, if, you know, that he would start with that, and then if people did follow-up questions, you know, really showed some interest, then he would add a little more about it. He would never push it. He would just, you know, if people kept asking, he'd go into more of an explanation. And I think that's a really good approach, because what I've found in my life is usually, I'll say it's a spiritual psychology, you know, say something like that. It's a spiritual psychology that emphasizes forgiveness in our relationships. And some people will ask more, but most people just say, oh.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I mean, I think that the ego's, the Course is, you know, Helen used to say that it was for six people.
Right.
It is not a wildly popular spirituality. It's a difficult to practice spirituality. It's very confrontational to the ego. And so, and Ken also used to say it's for people whose lives are not working all that well, who recognize again that there's this sense of something's wrong, you know, with the way I'm relating. You have to have a certain disillusionment to be attracted to this path, because, you know, if you're really good at projecting everything out there and it seems to be working, that this probably isn't the path for you. It isn't the only path. But it is a path for people that are aware that there's of the discomfort it causes in my relationships when I'm constantly, you know, constantly blaming others for how I'm feeling. And that's that sense of feeling, you know, I wasn't doing that really overtly. My astrology sign is Cancer, so, you know, I'm very sideways kind of. I'm not a directly combative or confrontational person, but within me, I'm very aware of the conflict within me, and I always have been. And so it didn't feel genuine to me very often. You know, I never felt really, you know, like fully loving, and I didn't feel loved. And I don't think if you don't feel fully loving, you can feel loved. And, you know, I think that's, for me, that seems to be the human condition. I'm not really sure that the kind, you know, and from the Course's perspective, that is the human condition. So I very much resonated when I finally found the Course with what it was saying about our special relationships and the way we use each other, because I was already feeling that within me, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I think that is what, so there is a certain awareness of that led Helen and Bill also, who it came to say, you know, there has to be a better way of relating to each other here. Our way isn't kind. It's not kind, and I don't feel kind. I'm living this way anymore. You know, always wanting to be right and being in competition and comparing myself with others. And you know, they're really what we're expected to do as egos.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Well, and you know, some of the reasons some of these questions were coming up is I did a session this past week with a teenager. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's always a different. Most of my clients or most of the people I work with are, you know, adults. But it was interesting because I could tell this person was very much at the beginning of, had just gotten a hold of the law of attraction and some other things, but was asking me a lot of questions that truthfully it was hard for me not to get into A Course in Miracles because, you know, is this, in fact, it reminded me so much of the questions that are in the manual for teachers because it was, well, do you believe in past lives? Do you believe in karma? Do you believe in the chakras? Do you believe in blah, blah, blah? And I just kept wanting to say, well, I believe in those things as much as I believe in anything else. They're just part of the story.
Right.
And so it was really, I thought, how can I really be authentic here without launching into A Course in Miracles? But of course, we did talk about it a little bit because I just said, yeah, I believe that it's a storyline. And just like astrology is a storyline, it's useful to me, but it's no more true than anything else. And in the end, it's all an illusion. It's all a story. So that was really, in some ways, a challenge for me to try to explain those things. And also recognizing just where I was going before is that many of us come to this discipline after nothing else works. And so, you know, we all kind of go through that. You know, we go to the law of attraction. We go to the, how do I manifest this in my life? How do I make this work? How do I know the secret of the universe? We try all those things. And I don't, the other recognition I've been coming to recently is we can't learn other people's lessons for them. And I'm not sure we can give them the answers to the test. I mean, we can share our experiences. We can guide them. But everybody has their own curriculum, and you can't shortchange that. I mean, unfortunately, in some ways, I think you can draw, you know, you can jump to the top of the line. But life doesn't usually work that way.
Right, right. And everybody has their, you know, again, the Course is not everybody's path by a long shot.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of great paths, you know. And if I could have done it some other way, believe me, I tried, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I tried paths that were a little less combative or confrontational to the ego, as I was saying. But for me, this really finally, you know, I did a lot of speaking before this. And I do think everybody, I mean, the Course is so reassuring in that way, too. It doesn't claim to be the only path. It tells us that everybody already has made it home, that all paths lead to God. You know, it's so inclusive in that sense. And it never tells us to, you know, try to convince others. I mean, this is, you know, hopefully people that listen to this are already interested in A Course in Miracles. I mean, that's why, you know, the Course, if this is your path, this is what it's saying. But it isn't saying that this has to be your path. You know?
Right.
There are other very, very worthy paths, and they all make it, you know, the only thing it does claim to be is accelerated in the sense that, you know, instead of going over the mountain, you're kind of going through it. You know?
Uh-huh.
So it, you know, you're looking the ego straight in the eye, and you're using it. It's giving you this practice that you can use in your life, which it tells us will, you know, in will save us thousands and thousands of years, whatever that means, because time isn't real. And that's, you know, just an example of Jesus trying to use something, a language that we might be able to relate to. But it, you know, it gives us a way of becoming kinder, of becoming more tolerant, of becoming more accepting of ourselves, of becoming more aware of what we're really doing in our relationships, and knowing that we can make a different choice that's more loving. You know, we're learning what, this is not a course in love, but it's teaching us what love is not. And through that, it's learning, you know, we're indirectly learning that love is really all we want. You know, our way has not been loving, and we can choose in the moment, as we find ourselves being unloving, which would always mean we first have been unloving to ourselves. We can choose again for a love that includes everyone, and that means victims and victimizers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Susan, I want to go to paragraph 3.
Yeah.
In this, we are in the text, chapter 24, section 3, section 3.
Yeah, I was waiting to read that, so please read it.
In paragraph 3, it says, "It is not you who are so vulnerable and open to attack that just a word, a little whisper that you do not like, a circumstance that suits you not, or an event that you did not anticipate upsets your world and hurls it into chaos. Truth is not frail." I love that. Truth is not frail. Illusions leave it perfectly unmoved and undisturbed. But specialness is not the truth in you. It can be thrown off balance by anything. What rests on nothing never can be stable. However large and overblown it seems to be, it still must rock and turn and whirl about with every breeze. And then when we get into the next paragraph, I mean, I want to read a few more things. It says, "Without foundation, nothing is secure. Would God have left his son in such a state where safety has no meaning? No, his son is safe, resting in him. It is your specialness that is attacked by everything that walks and breathes or creeps or crawls or even lives at all." You know, and I guess I was really drawn to that because, once again, it kind of goes back to what is your foundation? What is your source? And it also reminded me, probably one of my very, very, very favorite lessons, I think, is 109, which is, I rest in God.
Yeah.
And, you know, when all is said and done, that's it. All of these illusions, all these stories do hurt, but they can never change the reality. They can never change the truth.
But they don't hurt anything real, you know. And again, we have to. This is not what we are. Is what these two paragraphs are saying, right? It is not you who are so vulnerable. I mean, this is an imaginary self I made up. You know, this is the figure in the dream. It's not me. It's not the decision making mind that's reviewing this. You know. It's very important. It's very important for us to see how we let a minor thing, you know, we let a headline on our phone, on our smartphone, hurl us into chaos, right?
Right.
I mean, really. And you know, we become so, you know, we're just, and it's so true of our lives, you know, the random things that come up. We start out in the morning and we feel like we're you know, everything's okay. And then something comes up that seems to be this huge problem. And we feel that we're under attack all the time, you know, and we deny constantly that we're the dreamer of the dream.
Yeah.
We constantly go out charging into the dream to try to solve it. And the Course isn't saying that we don't do, you know, we don't do anything here. It just means that as we, you know, that we can, that we're actually capable of remembering where we're a mind while we seem to be operating a body. You know, that's outside the body, that this is not the reality of what we are. We don't have to be 100% identified with this vulnerability, you know, this frail self that's imagined. And we can be 100%. We can train ourselves to realign as we find ourselves, you know, first aligning with our vulnerability to realign with the strength in us that's safe and secure, and the you know, incredibly unconditionally constant love and support of what we really have of our creator and our true self that is unchanged, you know. Mm-hmm. That still, we are still resting in God, dreaming of exile.
Yeah. And yeah, go ahead.
Acknowledge that we're dreaming. We have to, you know, if we're not willing to step back and question the validity of our reaction, at least acknowledge that the only reason I'm feeling bad right now is I'm choosing to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I must have become afraid again and aligned with guilt, or I wouldn't be reacting like this.
Right.
And, you know, that's a step that we can't skip.
Yeah, later on, in I don't know what paragraph it is, but later on it says, the special ones are all asleep, surrounded by a world of loveliness they do not see.
Yeah.
Freedom and peace and joy stand there beside the bier on which they sleep and call them to come forth and awaken from their dream of death. Yet they hear nothing. They are lost in dreams of specialness. They hate the call that would awaken them, and they curse God because he did not make their dream reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about that, too, because how often do I decide what is in my best interest? What is the best thing for me? And, you know, damn it, that better happen that way. But never quite getting, that's just a dream of specialness. And then I'm mad at the universe. The universe didn't make this happen. God didn't make this happen. Which to me is why it's so refreshing in A Course in Miracles to recognize God didn't make the world. God isn't like, you know, having his little finger, you know, twirling everything around and manifesting or not manifesting.
He has no part in this. That's right.
No, he's off golfing. He's off having a good time while we're having dreams of specialness.
And God's child really has no part in this either.
No.
You know, this is just a silly whim, all of it, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, it's just very helpful again to see how addicted we are to victims, to being victimized. We like to be victimized. There's a part of us that's very, Ken used to say that is very gleeful when we find ourselves under attack, you know, there's this little smile that the ego has.
Yeah, and I know it. And I think we all know that somewhere inside. Mm-hmm. When something goes wrong or somebody is so mean to us, what a great story I've got. I better call Susan right away and tell her, you'll never believe what happened to me. It's like, why are we so sick?
You know, I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday and we were talking about some of the political stuff going on and some other things in our lives. I was admitting how triggered I had become in to this whole, to the political things. And she said something like, well, I just don't know what the answer is. And I said, well, within the dream, I mean, there just really isn't an answer. The only answer really is outside the dream. And she just said, yeah, I have no interest in going there. And, you know, most people don't. She's like, you know, she said, I'm not there yet. I don't even really want to talk about that, which was good. You know, I'm glad she told me that. But I wasn't trying to impose it on her, but I just had made the statement of the only thing that had been possible for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, there is no, I mean, the Course is, again, very, very simple. Above the battleground, there is peace. Within the battleground, there is bloodshed.
and it is never going to be logical. It's never going to be peaceful. There's always going to be those moments where you think you're on the verge of getting what you think you want.
Right.
There's always going to be those little treats, those little tastes, those little rewards. And then everything collapses and we wonder why.
That's right. And I will always be wrong. If I think that I'm different from another dream figure that seems to be causing the problem.
Right.
Always. We're the same. We're doing that, you know, we're doing the same dance of guilt, and we've named different perpetrators as the problem, but we've done it for the same reason, and that's all we need to know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Susan, it's time for us to wrap up. So I want you to be thinking about any announcements that you may have. But kind of going in that direction, our listeners know I am an astrologer. I'm an astrologer on One to Listen, where you can get me and we can talk about things. But one of the things we are going into in the illusion in the next 6 weeks, Venus, the planet of values, is going retrograde. And I love that because I think it's an opportunity to go deep with what is important. And I think my take-home message, or what I'm really thinking here, and I recognize it already. I mean, I'm hearing people do this in relationships. I'm hearing them do it with their possessions. I'm doing it. And it's just like, you know, sifting through and what do I want to keep and what do I don't want to keep? What are the things that I don't want in my life? But really getting to the core, which is, what do I want in my life? Because if I want peace, if I want to feel better than I do, then I've got to seriously look at all these things that I think I value, all these things that I think are important. So I know this is kind of putting a little astrology into a course, but, you know, I recognize, you know, what I value, I need to really look at that. Because if I value being right, if what I'm really valuing is, you know, kind of getting one over on somebody else, or believing that that is success, as I define those things, I will continue to never find what I'm looking for, to never find peace. So this could be an incredible 6 weeks for a spiritual journey, for a psychological journey. So I hope you will keep it tuned to 1-2 Radio, and certainly to this spot, you know, the Friday morning show where we talk about A Course in Miracles. So Susan, do you have any announcements you'd like to make?
You know, I really don't. I mean, I'm still teaching my class here in Denver on Tuesday nights, and doing some, you can visit my blog at foraysinforgiveness.com. There's some new videos and audios and so forth there, and a new blog post. But other than that, the Foundation for A Course in Miracles has moved to Nevada. But I don't think that they're quite up and running there. I think mid-month they're coming back with their bookstore and so forth. I mean, they're still, the website's still accessible and so forth, but I think the bookstore is not currently open, but they're running some kind of big special on the website with downloads and MP3 stuff, I believe. So you might want to visit that. And that's kind of about it.
Okay. Well, and I just posted in the chat room for anybody who happens to be over there, or if you're listening to this later, you can go over to the Facebook chat room and find this. Susan is Forays, Forays, in forgiveness.com. And I went ahead and posted that link there in the chat room, and also the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, which is www.facim. And as Susan said, they just have incredible things, and I'm quite excited about them having moved to Nevada because I have family there, and I know the next time I go and visit, I'm going to make a little road trip out to see the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, because I certainly am on their website a lot, but I've never actually been there in the flesh. So I would like to do that. So thank you for that, Susan. And Susan, thank you so much for the suggestion of this topic. And thanks for everything you do. And everybody, go over and check out her blog. She has a lot of interesting things, not only that she writes, but also things, interviews that she's done with Ken and his wife Gloria, and any number of other things. So, you know, I mean, once again, what do we value in life? You know, are we going to feed ourselves something that inspires us? Are we going to feed ourselves, surround ourselves with things that are going to talk to us about waking up from the dream? Or are we going to just continue to take the melatonin or whatever and say, I'm staying asleep, I'm not going there yet? So that's a personal choice. But the truth is, we're all waiting, you know, we're all waiting for each other, because we go to heaven together. So, you know, enjoy your particular ride, enjoy your particular journey, and I will be back with you next Friday. And also keep it tuned here, because we have got some new shows. Now, they're not starting today, but in the next week or two, we've got some great new shows that are starting here on 1-2 Radio, especially on Fridays. So I hope that you will tune in and listen to me and to the others as well. So everybody, thank you so much for being here, the listeners, everybody in the chat room. Thanks to our producer, Scott Weaver, and to my guest, Susan Dugan. You have been listening to the Friday morning show here on 1-2 Radio. And so relax and wear loose clothes and have a great week, and I'll be back next week.